B-Pod Studios.
By the way, Hattie, I like
He's the calming voice of the Midday Show.
You're siding with PK. Hey, shut up! I'm going to ask you a question, dumbass!
Hardy.
I've never seen him snap like that.
On Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Because I'm looking at you through the glass. Don't know how much time has passed. And all I know is that it feels like forever. And no one ever tells you that forever feels like home.
McBone gave a look at the...
I haven't heard this song in a while. It's a great song. Who does it? I forget who does this song.
It's Stone Sour.
Yes,
that's right. The lead singer of Slipknot.
Is that true?
This is one of his other projects here called Stone Sour.
Yeah. I'm a fan.
That's a good song. How can you be a fan? You a fan of Slipknot as well? How can you be a fan of Slipknot? I mean, I don't even know how you're a fan of Corey Taylor and of Luke Bryant or whatever that... crap is that you listen to.
That's fair.
I've had a lot of conversations, me and Hardy, about this.
T-Bone and I talk a lot about the hard rock in the 90s and 2000s. We do. I don't want to ask you what is going to serve your trochlear nerve, because that's a different conversation. Or as Dirty Automatic on Twitter says, you know, what will boggle your goggles? That's a different question for a different show. And Dave Hurley, who wants to know, on what zones will you be putting your rods and cones?
Ooh.
God. That's for another show, all these?
What raises scruples in your pupils? It's a fair question, but I really want to focus in on who gets the looky-loo, right? The looky-loo 10-2 here, Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy, Ted Johnson, and Tim McCone. So tonight... is there anybody who is more interested in seeing something other than the coaching and sideline dynamic for the game tonight? To me, that is the main thing. That's what to focus in on. And Ted, what specifically are you going to be looking at? I'm just curious, because is there some kind of dynamic? Is there some type of, you know, extra conversation that wouldn't normally be happening that you could be looking for tonight, whether it's Patricia calling the play, but Bill coming over to him during an offensive series? Now, that's something that I can't ever remember seeing, and I'm sure it did, but like, how often did Bill go over to Josh and have a conversation with him during an offensive series? Maybe at the end of a game, game on the line, then it's a conversation, but, you know, second quarter, first series, you know, the offense has left to do their thing. Bill's doing his thing. If you see a little bit of
interface going on with those two, but I think that's a good point. How about we're going to look at who's calling the plays, who's got the board, who is talking to Mac Jones after. If Mac Jones, he's not playing. Who's talking to Bailey Zappe when he comes off the field? Who's sitting next to him on the bench? But you know what? I'd love to just have a camera on Bill Belichick. Where's Bill the whole night? Where's he? Who's he talking to? What is the communication like? Is he talking to Patricia, or is he talking directly to the quarterbacks? I'd like to see that. You know what? And Joe Judge, he's kind of been the forgotten guy here. It feels like he's kind of been de-emphasized before training camp. We didn't know what his role was going to be. And then now you see him out there. It doesn't look like he's going to be as hands-on on the offense, at least, even though he's the quarterback's coach. But as far as maybe calling the plays, he doesn't seem to be the guy. So I'm curious to see where Bill's at, what he's doing, and Joe Judge. So besides Matt Patricia, I'm curious to see about that. You know, on the field, I kind of want to see what the defense is all about. You know, hopefully the defensive starters play a little bit. Right now they're feeling themselves.
Well, first of all, if they do play tonight and they were not considered, overall part of the starters story in this, I think that would be a huge slap in the face to the defense, because let's face it, when we talk about starters won't be playing tonight, Ted, I'm sorry. Most people think about the offense first.
Most people think about the offense. That's fine. But there is, there's the defense.
Is there a chance
too,
like the defense starters don't play? Defensive starters don't play?
I don't know. Maybe, if Mac Jones doesn't, does that mean the offensive line isn't playing?
And by the way, at the cornerback position, how will we know if the starters aren't playing? I mean, when it comes to some of these positions on the defense, maybe the starters are playing. I don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know who's going to be starting in some of these key positions on the defense.
But, you know, just there, in fact, just I'm curious who's starting. So who's starting? And I think that matters to Bill a little bit. I think he sends messages that way. I think that's a way of communicating to his players in a way, is who he starts, who he doesn't start. So I'm curious who are the starting corners tonight. I'd like to see who lines up as starting corners. Who's the starting middle linebackers? So before the game even gets underway, I'll be curious who he has penciled in as the starters.
I don't want to do full-blown story time, but I am curious, Ted, to ask you, like, early on in your career, what was this day like, the day before the first preseason game, in terms of how you felt about your position on the team?
Yeah.
And, you know, there are no guarantees, and forgive me, I don't know what, was expected of you, before you made it onto the field in your first preseason NFL game, but...
I would say each of the 10 years that I played, my first year, the way I felt about that first preseason game was vastly different than how I felt in my last year. But, you know, year seven, how it was an interesting offseason I had with Bill. I was nervous going into a preseason game because my status on the team for the first time felt like it was in question to start the 2002 season. So there was a little bit more nerves for a preseason game, although – at the end of the day, when you get to that point, I was been in the league 7 years. I felt it wasn't like I was nervous about my opponent. I was more nervous about my status on the team and what my future was with the team.
Isn't that mostly what it's about? I mean,
yep.
Bill said earlier this week when asked about the game plan, you know, how much will there be? And he said, none. There will be zero. Like, a tiny little bit, but nothing in terms of the opponent.
Right.
You know, there's no game plan because the Giants are coming in tonight. So it's mostly about, for the players, about your performance, not about the opponent.
Correct. And so, and that's really at the end of the day. There's a little bit of confused mixed messages too, because if you're not going to play a lot of the starters in you de-emphasize this preseason game. Guys, or do they? You know, what do these reps mean ultimately? Is he going to use these reps against you? Is it going to, if you go out there and you ball tonight, will it help your case? So players, all these players are going to go out there and play for the most part. Most of them are going to be sitting there going, I can't screw this up, and my job's on the line. So a lot of for preseason games and training camp, guys, football professional careers are on the line. And so it's a lot of pressure. You know how many times before that first preseason game, because you have 90 guys on the roster, it's a full roster. I always said this, the sounds in a locker room, guys are puking their guts out. Guys are nervous. It's their first NFL game, at least when I played. That's how it was, and that's how it should be. I feel like that's a lot of that's kind of left a little bit. The pressure isn't as much, I don't think, on these players. But your professional career is on the line, and so preseason games used to mean a lot. It's been de-emphasized, but still, nonetheless, if you're going out there, the last thing you want to do is make an ass out of yourself. And it's you go out there, you assume the guy lined up across from you is trying to win a job, so he's going to go 100 miles an hour. So you're going to see effort. You're going to see guys playing hard and fighting for their, again, professional careers. I don't know to what capacity, because I don't know how Bill is really judging this game ultimately and how guys perform ultimately.
Who are some guys tonight for the Patriots who are in a similar position like you were in year seven? Guys who have been here and established but don't know what their status is really.
I'd say Malcolm Butler is a guy for that. I think Malcolm Butler is a guy that you kind of look at and you go, what is he? Where's you know, he's been away. He's come back. You know, what's the relationship with him and Bill? Is it so solid that he feels like he's already made the team, or does he feel like Bill's kind of like, hey, you got to prove it to me. I mean, you're out last year. I don't know what you can do. I mean, you can maybe, I'm going to give you an opportunity. If I'm Malcolm Butler, I'm a little bit nervous. I'm feeling that a little bit. Who else would we feel? There's some, if I'm Mike Onwenu, you're here. Here's a guy who's penciled in as a starter at right guard who's had a rough kind of training camp a little bit. You're hearing he's been subbed in with James Ferentz has been subbing in for him. His starting right guard position might not be a foregone conclusion. Justin Heron, who was the backup to Isaiah Wynn, who's been injured the last few days in camp. he's kind of been the swing tackle. It was penciled in as the swing tackle. He has not been performing well, and so he's been losing some of his reps to Yanni Kajus, who they drafted 3 years ago. So those guys are all going to be nervous. Marcus Jones, the third-round running back, punt returner, kick returner they drafted this year, he's up for a punt returning job. You know, he's going to be nervous because he's got to show what he can do. So there's guys in certain positions where their careers are on the line and their roster spots are up in the air. And a lot of it might come down to partly the evaluation will be this game.
All right. Let's take more of your calls here. 617-779-0985. As we get closer and closer to kickoff tonight, it is for a night game. I'm going to say, one of the things this has going for him, early one.
I was shocked.
Yeah.
I was
love it.
7 o'clock.
I'll take a 7. I like that.
I thought it was an 8 o'clock kick.
We got a pregame starting at 4 here tonight. And, of course, all of your pre- and postgame coverage here on your flagship station for the New England Patriots, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Opinionated.
Aferius is nautical.
And passionate.
Ignorance is bliss.
Solak and Bertrand. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Well, they're certainly going to be getting their reps. Tom Brady has made it no secret that family is a priority to him. We heard him stress that when he decided to walk away from the game briefly. He said that there are things that need his attention. To your point that Bowles said that this is time that had already been allotted. I can tell you that their general manager, Jason Light, had a previously scheduled appearance on the local radio station here, WDAE, and he said Tom's absence is the least of our concerns. So if that gives you an idea of that they knew about this, that they feel confident he's going to be back. Bowles was also asked repeatedly how confident he is that Tom Brady will be the quarterback on week one, and he said that it's pretty high, his confidence level, that he would be back. But GM Jason Light was a little more definitive on Tom Brady. He said is as focused as ever. He said he was focused when he was here, and he said that they know that he will be focused when he is back. To give you
no, go ahead.
I'm just this story. The more and more that comes out about Tom Brady, who's now reportedly going to miss a week and a half of training camp, the more and more of this stuff comes out. I can't believe this. This is unprecedented to me. This is crazy. Now, I've never seen a player, if everything's okay with his family, and this is a scheduled kind of thing that he had prearranged with Tampa Bay, I'm shocked that Tampa Bay would allow it. I'm shocked, and it's like, whew. I mean, I know Tom has power, but man, I mean, if he can just say, hey, I'm going to take a week and a half off in training camp and – you guys are going to have to be okay with it.
The only thing that's conflicting with this being a planned absence and everything else is the one teammate today, McCone, and I don't know if you have it pulled up there, but it was a linebacker?
Yeah, it was Devin White.
Devin White.
And
okay.
He was talking to the media. Hold on, let me pull this up real quick.
Well, I mean, you could just...
On the inside, we know what's going on. We know our quarterback's good. We're just praying for him and letting him handle his business. So, I mean, if we're... Yeah.
Now I take it back. Now I don't think it's anything family related or anything urgent. I think it's
we know.
But what's the praying? Why are you praying for? I just pray for Tom to enjoy his time off.
Like beautiful.
What's the praying? Why are you praying for a guy that's taking a week and a half off to go play golf?
It's like Chuck D says, because I pray. I pray every day.
All right. I just think this is unprecedented. I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen a player just be able to kind of pull this kind of these shenanigans that Tom is playing. And again, in the backdrop of the Ben Volen article today, and I think that's part of my where I'm like, where Ben was down to practice in Tampa Bay. And I'm trying to pull the article up, but Ben was down there, and he just said the body language was terrible from Tom. He's only given he's only talked to the media one time since the start of training camp. He's already missed 3 days, Hardy. already missed 3 days. He was moping around in practice. That he wasn't. He didn't seem too enthused while he was there. And then so it led Ben to kind of question whether or not he was, you know, all in Tampa Bay this year. So I just find this to be very, very unusual, and I think there's more to it than meets the eye.
The notion that he maybe didn't want to be there, that does kind of factor in. But I don't know that it changes things effectively for the outcome. You know, he was, you know, at various points looking for other jobs, maybe had his sights set on something beyond Tampa while he was winning the Super Bowl in Tampa. You know, who knows? He's always got an eye on what's next. So until I see evidence to the contrary, I don't think it's going to affect his performance on the field. If there's one guy that could take a couple weeks off to do whatever it is that he's doing.
At the age of 45, nobody's done it at this age.
And still have teammates saying, we got your back, go handle your business, have fun, pray for you, love you, do all that stuff, and then come back and still win a crap ton of football games. It's Brady.
There has to be a tipping point, though, right?
It has to be.
They do this stuff for a reason. So, like, I don't know. Missing just calling the pulling the chute for 2 weeks during training camp, getting things up and ready when Gronk's not going to be back. You don't know what God.
Well, maybe they don't. What's the OC situation? Do they have one? Have they installed a brand new offense this year? I mean, is there anything that they really need to be working on, or is it just kind of shaking the rust off?
I don't know.
If they're just shaking the rust off, I don't know if he needs to be there.
Still, come on, it's crazy. You lose your starting center. You have Julio Jones, who you brought in the offseason. There's no Gronk. You brought in Kyle Rudolph. He's new. Chris Godwin's got a torn ACL. Russell Cage, the number three slot receiver, he's pulled a hamstring. There's a lot of guys that are going to be filling those roles that Tom needs to be there working with.
Everything you say is correct, Ted, and you know what? They'll be fine.
Okay.
I mean, seriously. Yeah. And so?
You have to admit this is highly unusual.
But look, if I were down there sweating and going through camp, I'd probably, as a player, I don't know if my first comment would be, go handle your business and I'll pray for you. I probably would have some thoughts that didn't go that way. Like at the end of a, you know, if they do have hard practices in Tampa and, you know, they're sweating and gutting it out. But they also maybe look at it once they get home and showered and have a nice, you know, have a cold drink. Like, it's still Tom Brady.
It's whatever. Yeah. He'll be fine.
But he's Grumpy Bear. I'm telling you, his disposition is different. It sounds like it's different in this camp than it's been in the two previous camps with Tampa Bay. That's all. So I'm just saying there might be something there more than meets the eye that it could affect his ultimately the bottom line, which is his production. I don't know. I wonder.
The Bulls comment, too, that his confidence is it's pretty high that Brady's actually going to be the week one starter for the Bucs.
But that could be gamesmanship.
No.
That could be gamesmanship.
You okay? All
absolutely.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah, we're pretty sure.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It could be Todd Bowles just having some fun.
That's giving Todd Bowles a lot of credit. That's giving him a lot of credit.
Well, Brady ran his head coach out of town after they won the Super Bowl to bring that guy in, so he must have some confidence in him. He's a lot sharper than we give him credit for.
Maybe. That's the thing he said that I kind of hung on the most is I think he's going to be starting week one. It's like, what? You're pretty sure? You're not 100% sure? Yeah.
That could be his way of saying, I'm not down with this totally, but I also I don't call the shots around here. Well, it's pretty obvious who does. Yeah.
But if that's the case, again, then something's going. There's something there, man. It's just not all rainbows and lollipops. That's all I'm trying to say.
We got loaded lines on this. Let's get to them here. We'll start with Jeff in Nashua. Jeff, what do you have on tonight's game?
Well, hello, gentlemen. Tonight, I am looking for anything at all to cure the virus in my iris caused by watching the Air Patricia Hibernate 360 offense in training camp. Now, Ted, earlier, you had said the only difference between the Celtics and the Warriors is Clay accepting that number two role. There's never been an issue about any of that with the Warriors, and one of their most valuable traits is their selflessness. And Jalen, his development has been spectacular. Every year, he's turned a weakness into a strong addition to his game and developing towards being a complete player. And I'm sure he's putting himself through Steph Curry's ball handling regimen right now. But after signing with Kanye and hanging with Kyrie, I'm convinced that Jalen likely isn't capable of being selfless.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. someone just theorized that Tom Brady has COVID, and that would explain the extended app.
Okay.
But then you have to go back and get everybody on the same page with a lie about this being planned in advance.
Right.
So,
right. No. Yeah. Exactly.
I'm not doing that. Andy in Grafton, what do you got, Andy?
Hello, gentlemen. How you been doing? My thought is that with them implementing a new offense, the Patriots, that is, and we know there's been struggles, and we know specifically that Mac Jones, who I have a lot of confidence in and I like, is struggling right now with connecting with his receivers and making sure that they're picking the right option on the, you know, if they're doing with the new blocking scheme, how can they possibly justify not having him play at least a little bit tonight when it's his second year? This isn't, you know, 10, 15-year veteran. This isn't somebody who's shown that he's, you know, going to be get injured right now. I think they just need more time to practice this new offense instead of sitting somebody just to have him look at it. I just don't get it, Ted. Somebody explain it.
Well, Andy, how about this? He might play tonight. You know, and nothing against Mike Reese or anyone else has reported that the starters won't play tonight. But how many times have we been wrong on how much guys go out and play, especially in the first two preseason games? You know, sometimes Brady used to play much longer than we thought, and other times he put, you know, didn't play at all. So we might see Mac tonight.
Yeah, no, we might. And Mike will never, you know, I'm sure he'll get, you know, Mike getting some bad info from if they told Mike they weren't going to play him and they do. I mean, that might be the end of Mike's relationship with the Patriots. But
it'll be fun. Look, it's preseason.
I'm also curious if the offensive line, do they start the offensive line? Part of it is, are they protecting Mac? Yeah, but my guess is part of it, they're protecting Matt Patricia, and Bill Belichick's protecting himself too, because I don't know if he wants to put the starters out there and look at it and just it looks like crap. Then it just, everything we've been talking about
protecting
the first 2 weeks.
Protecting everything.
It protects everything when you say, you know, well, the starters, if they're not out there, then we're not, you know, judging them critically.
Protects everything and everybody. You want the answer on Tom Brady? You want to know what's going on with Tom Brady?
Tell us, Hardy.
No, I will not tell you. Jake in Boston is on the line.
All right.
Yes, Jake?
Hi, gentlemen. I have a feeling this is a family thing. I don't have any specific information except for, you did mention how odd it was. You did mention that we're praying for him. When Galen Brady had cancer in 2016, we didn't find out about it until the Super Bowl. And they've kept the family stuff very close to the chest. But let's say it's the worst of the worst in terms of the news. Let's say there was and listen, Tom Sr. can call and correct me on this. Let's say there was a terminal diagnosis in there of one of the parents. This is the only time between now and February he could deal with it. And the way the 17-game season is set up, where that team knows they're good, they know they're the favorite for the division, they may be looking at it as, take care of your business now. You know, we understand it's going to be an issue, and we have 17 games to figure it out. We need to peak in January, not necessarily the Patriots situation where they need to peak out of the gate and get their, you know, their trash of an offense figured out. I have a feeling that this is a family thing. The social media activity has been non-existent outside of congratulations on your career, James White post. The Brady brand stuff has gone down. His activity has gone down. Outside of Maya, who's at a tournament in Japan, the family's activity has gone down. If this is what I think it is, he may have 2 weeks now to deal with it, because you're not going to be able to deal with it the same way in November. And I think a lot of families think this way.
All right, Jake, thank you. A measured, empathetic, and
the first time,
and off-brand, very humanistic.
Yeah, that was not the call I was expecting.
Take from Jake, yeah, and that's how we started this whole thing. Yeah, and of course, all bets are off. And we don't know. We don't know what I think is the more interesting conversation is does it affect the team going forward? Ted says, absolutely, of course. You know, you got stuff, you got new guys in there. I take a much more simplistic approach to it and say, no, it's Tom Brady. They'll be fine.
Okay. I guess it depends on what the reason was for him leaving the team. I think that'll impact. I just think guys will be like, dude, you just want to take a week off in the middle of training camp?
Right.
That's all. Okay. And if that's the case, I think it could negatively impact the team. That's all.
All right.
And real quick.
Yes.
Ian Rappaport, I thought he did say that it was not a fin. Did he make it clear?
He said that he is fine, that Brady's fine. It's not an issue with Brady. Yeah, right now.
Okay, yeah. Well, that leaves other stuff open. Jason in Nashua, very quickly. Sorry, we're kind of up against it here, but go ahead.
I just want to know why you guys care so much. He's 45 years old playing at the highest level in the NFL. Whether he takes a week and a half off before the season starts, did it matter when he got suspended in 2014? What happened after that? When he won a Super Bowl. So I'm just confused on why you guys are making such a big deal out of this.
I find it interesting.
Ted Johnson.
I found it interesting, caller. I apologize if you don't. I just think there's something up.
It doesn't happen.
Oh, Jason, he just called you caller. Now you just made Ted's list.
Sorry.
You might want to call back and apologize.
in the context of the Ben Volen article, with his mannerisms down there, he's kind of moping. He's only talked to the press one time in training camp. I think there's something going on down there with them. There's more than the story than we realize, and that's all.
All right, we got to call in James White, and then after that, a round of Do You Care? As we get closer to the end of this fourth and final hour here on Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Here are Zolak and Bertrand.
Where else does that happen?
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Here's everything I understand about this. It was planned. No one is worried. He's fine. It's not, to my knowledge, it is not a medical emergency related to him or I believe anyone close to him. I was told everything is okay. The best description I got about this was that it is important to find a work-life balance. Kind of like we were just talking about. Not saying I'm like the greatest quarterback of all time, but I'm just saying finding a work-life balance is extremely important. Brady has been doing this for 23 years. He knows the scheme as well as anyone. He wasn't going to play in those two games anyway. So he steps aside to, it sounds like, do some actual personal things, family things.
Ian Rappaport, his information on the Tom Brady absence there with the Buccaneers for training camp, and Todd Bowles saying, well, we assume he's going to be the starter. It all has to do with work-life balance.
Yeah.
You know, he's just, no one's in trouble. No one's worried. It's not that. It's just, something he had to do, something that was planned. He's going to miss, a week or so, week or more.
Yeah, a week
of
or
camp.
More. No problem. And, he missed a few days for his birthday. Last week.
My birthday.
So it's all normal. It's totally normal. I mean, a guy that's been 45 years old, still playing in the NFL. He's got 7 Super Bowl rings. You know, he doesn't need to work. It's take some time off. Hardy, this is crazy to me. I'm sorry. It's crazy to me. I can't believe you guys aren't a little bit more surprised.
I am surprised. I stop. At worrying as to how it's going to affect him and the team and their number of wins this season. That's where I have to check myself and say that it's probably going to be fine. It's probably going to be just fine.
Let's have some fun real quick. Have some fun with this. If Tom was still on this team, could he do that here if he was in New England?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So okay. So he gets away with more things down there. He's got more pull. He's got more power within the organization. He can do this. I will just say this. I think it can affect wins and losses to some degree. Now, hear me out. I don't care. As decorated as Tom is, if the guys on this team, on that team, and maybe it was similar, not too dissimilar to the 2019, if Tom's like his own separate thing, entity, and same separate corporation within a team, that could create problems.
Yeah, and listen, I do not for an instant give any weight to the work-life balance thing you've had since February to balance out your
Correct,
work life.
Yeah. So it's BS, you know? Dude.
And I've talked about this. I know Felger has talked about it. It's true. Like this whole like, you know, all the sacrifices that you make.
Oh, give me a break.
I mean, for what? For the weeks you spend away at training camp or for all the time you spend on the road? It's like, especially, you know, when he was here, it's like, oh, the game's in Buffalo. Oh, my God. You got to, you know, for
it's,
that.
It's an hour and 15 flight.
For that Bills game, yeah.
It's an hour and 15 flight.
It's an hour there. It's an hour back.
You're gone for a whole night.
You're out of the house for less hours, you know, per day, per, you know, and when you average it out for the year, don't even try. Yeah. But during your work season, you're probably out of the house the same number of hours as a lot of working parents.
Correct.
Are.
That's correct.
I mean, it's stop with the work-life balance. Okay, you're not going to get a lot of sympathy from average folks on that one.
No.
And if you do, they're not thinking it through.
Yeah.
That guy's had months to balance out the family life. But now you got to take time away from camp.
Yeah. So therein lies the rub. You're making the point for me in that sense. I think there's just more to it than just he wants to take some time off.
And I will once again reset with the caveat, if it is something having to do with family, kids, and the health, whatever they're like, all bets are of course. You'd be a monster to say or think otherwise. All right. We still have. Quickly, let's get to Justin on James White. This is the big story today. James White announcing his retirement. Justin in Weymouth, what do you have for us?
Yes, I just wanted to quickly see what your opinion is on James White's legacy when it comes to the Bill Belichick era and that split-back role. Obviously, the split-back role played a significant part of a lot of the winning that went on in the last 20 years. When I think about the running backs that played that role, the Woodheads, the Vereens, Kevin Falk, you know, there's a few others, but Ted, I know you played with Kevin Falk. In my mind, James White and Kevin Falk kind of are side by side. I'm curious to know, where do you see James White's legacy? Is he one of the, you know, the best?
Okay.
Back?
All right, Justin. Yeah. All right, thanks.
Yeah, he's not quite. I think Kevin Falk again, 13 years he put in. Other than you take James White's performance in the Super Bowl, which was a phenomenal Super Bowl. It's the only reason I think that, you know, they win their sixth. I just think there's, I would say the resume is probably a tad bit more impressive with Kevin Falk.
There's a bunch of guys
is right there.
Yeah. This is why I feel his legacy is in that when you talk about the era, the Brady Belichick era, it's a 1-2 punch of Brady and Belichick. And there may, you could go into tears, but there's a bunch of guys that you mention in that next group of players. And chief among them are Rob Gronkowski. Just keeping it offensive here for a second,
yep,
Ted. No offense, but just keeping it offensively for a second. It's Julian Edelman, Rob Gronkowski, and then James White. He's got to be right there in the conversation in terms of his contributions. And what do we talk about here? We talk about the rings. You know, you talk about the championships. You talk about, you know, the marquee moments for this team and the games that they won. And that Super Bowl against Atlanta, it's James White.
Yeah.
You know, it's an important part of it. And, I think he's right there in that conversation. The secondary group of guys below Brady and Belichick.
Yep. That's the best way to put it.
I would put it upon you to pick your, you know, your defensive guys that belong in that same conversation.
Yeah, yeah,
but there's a handful.
There is. But James White, he's right there. So he's I think you put it exactly perfectly. 9 years. He's, you know, some people call him a Patriot legend, and he probably is with that performance in the Super Bowl and what he was. He kind of picked up where Kevin Falk left off, and so he should be considered and thought of as, you know, one of the best. Three-time Super Bowl champ, and did his job without much fanfare. Great leader, multiple-time year captain, so that goes a long way. And so people should look at him as one of the best.
All right, players. Boys, let's do it. Do you care? Are you ready?
Yes. Let's do it.
Do you care? about the Field of Dreams game tonight.
Give it to me.
You love the Field of Dreams game.
Are you kidding me? I mean, is Kevin going to be there? Is my boy Kevin going to be there to narrate and to, I don't know, to do an interview in the studio too?
I don't know. For some reason, it was not on my radar last year. I didn't see one second of it. And for me, I do not care. Okay. Not one iota.
Yeah, we've had this conversation before. I'm out on all sports movies generally, so Field of Dreams doesn't really do it for me. I'm out on this game, yeah.
Really?
Not my favorite genre. No.
Is this heaven?
What?
No. This is Iowa.
No.
Shut up.
Well, hold on. Whoa. Okay. You want, Dad, you want to have a catch? I mean, that doesn't get you.
No. Apparently he's not going to be there.
It's a ghost. And by the way, how is it that Kevin Costner and James Earl Jones riding in the van don't pick up on the fact that the kid in the back is also a ghost? You know, he said something weird about playing. It's like, because it's the guy you were just. What are you talking about, you two dummies? He's the kid from the guy from the town that you just saw.
You got to suspend that guy. A little bit.
That's a, how do you not know that's him? You idiots.
It's a movie.
He's got a three-fingered glove hanging off the side of a duffel bag that's made out of burlap. You think he's modern day? No, it's a ghost you just picked up. You're riding with a ghost, you dummies.
I can't believe you don't like the genre of sports movies.
No.
That's a little
I like sports movies. That one, it's not
okay.
It's not really a sports movie.
You guys don't have that little Hardy in you. It's just, you know, where's the little Hardy? Like, where's that little boy inside you?
Field of Dreams.
Dad, we'll have a catch.
Not a sports movie. That's how they get you to watch it, but it's not. All right. Do you care about the Black Friday game that will be allegedly taking place? The NFL, known for its Thanksgiving games, adding a game on the day after Thanksgiving for 2023. So what they want to do is be Amazon would reportedly stream the Black Friday game, and that this idea has picked up steam because of the Thursday Night Football package. They want to have an NFL game on Black Friday of Thanksgiving Day weekend next year.
I think it's a horrible idea. A lot of people think there's three games on Thanksgiving, and then you want to have another game. It's like you have your fill on Thanksgiving. You know, I'm not sitting around all day on Friday. The day after Thanksgiving, want to watch a football game.
One game. Just one game. Here's why I would care and why I would want them to do it. Take away one of those Thanksgiving games.
Take away the night game
on Thanksgiving. I like that.
Take away the Lions.
It's too much.
Please.
Of course, Devon. They're not taking a game off the schedule and moving it to a different. No. However many games they have on a given day, you're going to keep that many games on that day. We're just going to add to it. But I would love it if they would just get rid of that Thanksgiving net. Actually, if they could do it this year, that would be perfect. They could get rid of the night game on Thanksgiving this year. Oh, that would be awesome. All right, so that's it for Don't Care. We're out of time. We're going to go.
That was a good time. Yeah. Have fun tonight. Have fun at the game tonight.
Hold on. We're not done yet.
We got to
do today's takeaways. Oh. We'll do that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Opinionated.
I do like crushed haddock.
And passionate.
I took a piece of haddock one time and I ran over with a tire.
More headlines in 30 minutes.
It's like a haddock pancake.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub. They give.
Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Today's takeaway is brought to you by Awaken 180. September will bring us back to the same routine, mix it up. Enter September with an established simple routine of better health with Awaken 180. So today's takeaway, gentlemen, we talked about Aaron Rodgers and his ayahuasca use.
Oh, yeah.
It sounded like this. The trip can last up to 5 hours.
Hmm.
Nightmare.
Yeah.
Nightmare.
Yeah.
I mean, back in the day, I would have been all for it. Now, I don't even want...
No part of it?
Seriously, I hesitate about drinking an iced coffee after 3 p.m. Because it's just...
But what if I said to you, look, I'll be... Was it what did they call it? A shaman?
Shaman, yeah.
What if I was your shaman? I say, hey, 5 hours, you're going to be in a... You're not going to know where you are or what you're doing. Would you trust me to watch you and observe you for those 5 hours?
Because I'm a little scared of you in a setting where there are, I mean, could you imagine?
I'm here to guide you through this. Believe it or
not. God, no. No.
A friend one time told me about an experience like this, and he told me, yeah, you know, to have someone there in front of you, that helps if you have someone there to watch you and observe you as you start to, you know, start your journey and your trip.
I would trust you, Ted, and I'm not afraid of you because I don't think you go out of your way to mess with people.
I don't.
Right?
I would preserve you and make sure you're not doing anything stupid.
Preserve. I got an email, by the way, from somebody who's very upset with me specifically. It's like, oh, after all the drugs you've done, how do you dare make fun of anyone? Call that? I got news for you. That was a nightmare, too.
Yeah.
Why do you think I don't do it anymore?
Yeah. Hey,
and the psychedelics were never my thing. I'm just saying that specifically sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah. Hey, if anybody can talk about it and make fun of it, I feel like the recovering addicts can.
Yeah.
Let's go,
high
brother.
Five.
Let's go.
There we go.
We're good. You're fine.
Felger and Maz up next. Enjoy the game tonight, everybody.
Have fun.
Talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.